borderline personality disorder. And let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I come before you now and I thank you. I thank you for your word. And God, I ask that you'd enable me now to speak and to speak well. And I pray you'd help all of us to open our hearts to what needs to happen to help people who struggle with what is described in the world as borderline personality disorder. God, I ask that you bless our time together now, and I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, well, it's my task to talk to you about borderline personality disorder. And when I teach, I like to teach from case histories, which in order to be compliant with the Health Information Privacy and Portability Act, or HIPAA, I either have to gain the permission of the individual in writing to speak about their case, or what I usually do is I have to take five or six of them, and I take them and I pour them into my literary blender, and I blend them for a while, and then I pour it into the mold of the story that I wish to tell. That keeps me from having to pay $15,000 fines or having to get tried on for orange jumpsuits in the worst case scenario. So is Gene. Gene is a mixture of a lot of different people that I've encountered with borderline personality disorder. She was 24 years old, college graduate. I think she studied history and political science. And at the time I encountered her, after she had graduated from college, she was working part-time at a coffee shop. That was where her history and political science degree got her. I vibrate with that, or I sympathize with it, because I graduated with a degree in history and political science, and the only thing I could possibly do with it was go to medical school. Anyway, well, and she wasn't working full-time, and so it required her to live at home with her parents, which was, of course, somewhat uncomfortable for all of them. They, of course, had assumed by now that she would have moved on in life, would be working full-time doing something and supporting herself, and perhaps haven't even moved out of the house. And having her there made life difficult, you might say, for both of them. And instead, they noted that her life seemed to be going absolutely nowhere. She told me she was a believer, that she went to church, read her Bible, and prayed regularly, and recounted all of that with absolutely no joy. You know, I couldn't see a glimmer of anything happy about what she was telling me as she recounted it. Her sadness and worry had taken her to see her physician. Her parents thought there had to be something wrong with her that maybe a doctor could fix. But after a thorough physical exam and laboratory testing, there really wasn't anything much to find. And on subsequent visits, the doctor then suggested that maybe she was worried and depressed, and offered her medicine to take, and she took it, signed up, took it, and for a couple, 3 or 4 months, and got absolutely no better. And at that point, the doctor then decided that maybe she needed to be referred to a therapist, and offered her a referral to talk to someone about her situation, and she agreed to it and went. And at that meeting, the therapist listened to her story carefully, and then decided that yes, she probably did meet the qualifications or the criteria to have depression and anxiety, but that she thought she had one other descriptor. And she told Jean that she met the criteria for borderline personality disorder. Now, what does it take to get that label? Well, in counseling settings, in borderline personality disorder is encountered probably 3 to 1 for men to women. They make a guess that maybe there are just as many men who have these kind of problems as women. It's just they never go to the doctor about it. You know, it sort of separates out that way. The lifetime prevalence, everybody in the United States during let's say, 77 years, if you looked at all of them, 5.9% would have at one time or another met the criteria. And at any given time of the whole population, about 1.9% could meet it, meet that criteria. Then, what is the criteria? What does it take to get a label of borderline personality disorder, which is a little, you know, eventually I'll start calling it BPD, but it's always a little confusing to me because I originally started writing about bipolar disorder in life, and so every time I see BPD, it's you know, my brain clicks and says bipolar. But anyway, what's the criteria? Well, the number one criteria is trouble with relationships. You know, that's really the big thing. At the time, her parents struggled with, she and her parents struggled with most of the things that you would assume an adult child living in, with her parents would encounter. Our children, out of our four children, all of them eventually lived with us for a while after they graduated from college. Usually for our two girls, it was sort of just a little bit of spacing as they were headed someplace. For the oldest, it was, I'm getting married in July, I need someplace to live till then. For the younger, she lived with us for a year because it was going to be a while before she got married. And we said, well, live with us, save your rent money, that way you'll be able to buy a house. And she did. She lived with us for several years, saved her money for a down payment, and then met the guy she was going to marry. And yes, they had a down payment for the house. But at any rate. And then of the two guys, the boys, the younger boy lived with us for a while they came back from college. He was married. She and his wife lived with us for a while they built a house. And then the last one had sworn he would never live with us. That was his statement. And he was in the armed forces. He was in the Army. And while he was deployed, his wife and their two daughters lived with us for a while. And then when he was in between, he came back, you know, in between deployments, he came back and did live with us for a while, despite the fact that he had sworn he would never do it. What can you say about that kind of thing? Well, it does present adjustments. You know, you just have to make adjustments because as a parent, you're looking at them with the same kind of eyes looked at them with when they were three. But they aren't that anymore. And they are adults, and they are looking at you with the idea that, well, you know, I graduated from college, I'm independent, your expectations of me should be very minimal. But then, of course, you're living in my house, and so there ought to be some expectations. If you end up in that situation and it's a struggle, best book that I've ever read is You Never Stop Being a Parent. It's by Jim Neuheiser. I commend it to your attention. It deals with the struggle that exists between adults and their kids from both sides. Looks at it from the kid's viewpoint and from the parental viewpoint. At any rate, Jean had expectations of her parents that were significant, and her parents had expectations that she would eventually leave home. That was what their expectation was. Her mother really wasn't up for cleaning, cooking, and doing the laundry for an adult child living in their household, and they were sort of expecting at this point she'd be working full-time and paying her own way, but that wasn't exactly happening either. She viewed their encouragement for her to get a full-time job and to kind of spread out on her own as threatening and as abandonment. And so she had struggles at home. And then she also had struggles with her friends. She demanded their attention. Jean was no more successful about outside the house making and maintaining good relationships. In fact, she was probably a little bit worse. To be her friend sort of meant that you were expected to pay attention to her full time. And if you didn't pay attention to her full time, you were not a good friend. And most of her friends would have said that she was exhausting. It was exhausting to be around her. And the level of demands that she would place on them for attention and doing things, et cetera, those kind of things, simply sort of sucked the life out of relationships. And eventually what would happen is, of course, her friends would get tired and then they would disappear, which was difficult for her. She was an attractive young woman, had an interested boyfriend, but what he didn't realize was that, as far as she was concerned, his main job in life was to pay attention to her, give her a ring, propose, become her husband, etc. And the more she pressured him about it, the further he seemed to grow away from the idea. You know, the more she leaned on him, the more he wanted to get some space. She treated her other friends much the same way. Jean struggled with how to view herself. Her friends would be considered good until they were exhausted and then moved on. She thought she was worthy of their attention, but eventually they were exhausted by it. She couldn't